Chapter 2. To show off his prodigy, Deerslayer Hawkeye long rifle leather stocking Pathfinder Bumpo before the ladies. Be all ready to clench it, boys, I cried out Pathfinder, stepping into his friend's tracks the instant they were vacant. Never mind a new nail, I can see that, though the paint is gone, and what I can see I can hit at 100 yards, though it were only a mosquito's eye. Be ready to clench. Apostrophe, the rifle cracked, the bullet sped its way, and the head of the nail was buried in the wood, covered by the piece of flattened lead. There, you see, is a man who could hunt flies with a rifle, and command a ducal salary in a Wild West show today, if we had him back with us. The recorded feat is certainly surprising just as it stands, but it is not surprising enough for Cooper. Cooper adds a touch. He has made Pathfinder do this miracle with another man's rifle, and not only that, but Pathfinder did not have even the advantage of loading it himself. He had everything against him, and yet he made that impossible shot, and not only made it, but did it with absolute confidence, saying, "Be ready to clench." Now a person like that would have undertaken that same feat with a brickbat, and with Cooper to help he would have achieved it too. Pathfinder showed off handsomely that day before the ladies. His very first feat was a thing which no Wild West show can touch. He was standing with a group of marksmen, observing 100 yards from the target, mind, when Jasper raised his rifle and drove the center of the bullseye. Then the quartermaster fired. The target exhibited no result this time. There was a laugh. "'Tis a dead miss," said Major Lundy. Pathfinder waited an impressive moment or two, then said, in that calm, indifferent, know-it-all way of his, "No, Major, he has covered Jasper's bullet, as will be seen, if anyone will take the trouble to examine the target." Wasn't it remarkable? How could he see that little pellet fly through the air, and enter that distant bullet hole? Yet that is what he did, for nothing is impossible to a Cooper person. Did any of those people have any deep-seated doubts about this thing? No, for that would imply sanity, and these were all Cooper people. He respect for Pathfinder's skill and for his quickness and accuracy of sight the italics, are mine, so profound and general, that the instant he made this declaration the spectators began to distrust their own opinions, and a dozen rushed to the target in order to ascertain the fact. There, sure enough, it was found that the quartermaster's bullet had gone through the hole made by Jasper's, and that too, so accurately as to require a minute examination, to be certain of the circumstance, which, however, was soon clearly established, by discovering one bullet over the other in the stump against which the target was placed. They made a minute examination. But never mind, how could they know that there were two bullets in that hole without digging the latest one out? For neither probe nor eyesight could prove the presence of any more than one bullet. Did they dig? No, as we shall see. It is the Pathfinder's turn now. He steps out before the ladies, takes aim, and fires. But, alas! Here is a disappointment. An incredible, an unimaginable disappointment, for the target's aspect is unchanged. There is nothing there, but that same old bullet hole. If one dared to hint at such a thing, apostrophe cried Major Duncan, I should say, that the Pathfinder has also missed the target. Apostrophe, as nobody had missed it yet, little so was not necessary. But never mind about that, for the Pathfinder is going to speak. No, no, Major, apostrophe said he, confidently, that would be a risky declaration. I didn't load the piece, and can't say what was in it, but if it was lead, you will find the bullet driving down those of the quartermaster and Jasper, else is not my name Pathfinder. Apostrophe, apostrophe, shout from the target, announced the truth of this assertion. Is the miracle sufficient as it stands? Not for Cooper. The Pathfinder speaks again, as he now slowly advances towards the stage occupied by the females. That's not all, boys, that's not all. If you find the target touched at all, I'll own to a miss. the quartermaster cut the wood, but he will find no wood cut by that last messenger. The miracle is at last complete. He knew, doubtless saw at the distance of 100 yards that his bullet had passed into the hole without fraying the edges. There were now 3 bullets in that one hole, 3 bullets embedded processionally in the body of the stump back of the target. Everybody knew this somehow or other, and yet nobody had dug any of them out to make sure. Cooper is not a close observer, but he is interesting. He is certainly always that, no matter what happens. And he is more interesting when he is not noticing what he is about than when he is. This is a considerable merit. The conversations in the Cooper books have a curious sound in our modern ears. To believe that such talk really ever came out of people's mouths would be to believe that there was a time when time was of no value to a person who thought he had something to say, when it was the custom to spread a 2-minute remark out to 10, when a man's mouth was a rolling dash mill and busied itself all day long in turning 4-foot picks of thought into 30-foot bars of conversational railroad iron by attenuation, when subjects were seldom faithfully stuck to, but the talk wandered all around and arrived nowhere, when conversations consisted mainly of irrelevancies, with here and there a relevancy with an embarrassed look, as not being able to explain how it got there. Cooper was certainly not a master in the construction of dialogue. Inaccurate observation defeated him here as it defeated him in so many other enterprises of his. He even failed to notice that the man who talks corrupt English 6 days in the week must and will talk it on the 7th, and can't help himself. In the Deerslayer story he lets Deerslayer talk the showiest kind of book talk sometimes, and at other times the basest of base dialects. For instance, when someone asks him if he has a sweetheart, and if so, where she abides, this is his majestic answer. She's in the forest hanging from the boughs of the trees, in a soft rain, in the dew on the open grass, the clouds that float about in the blue heavens, the birds that sing in the woods, the sweet springs where I slake my thirst, and in all the other glorious gifts that come from God's providence. Apostrophe, and he preceded that, a little before, with this. It concerns me as all things that touches a friend concerns a friend. Apostrophe, and this is another of his remarks. If I was Injun born, now, I might tell of this, or carry in the scalp and boast of the exploit afore the whole tribe, or if my enemy had only been a bear, and so on. We cannot imagine such a thing as a veteran Scotch commander-in-chief comporting himself in the field like a windy melodramatic actor, but Cooper could. On one occasion Alice and Cora were being chased by the French through a fog in the neighborhood of their father's fort. Point the quartier aux coquins. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried an eager pursuer, who seemed to direct the operations of the enemy. Stand firm and be ready, my gallant Goths. Apostrophe, apostrophe, suddenly exclaimed a voice above them. Wait to see the enemy. Fire low, and sweep the glasses. Apostrophe, apostrophe, father? Father! Apostrophe, exclaimed a piercing cry from out the mist. It is I, Alice, thy own Elsie. Spare, oh! Save your daughters! Apostrophe, hold! Apostrophe, apostrophe, shouted the former speaker, in the awful tones of parental agony, the sound reaching even to the woods, and rolling back in solemn echo. 'Tis she! God has restored me my children! Throw open the sally port. To the field, Goths, to the field. Pull not a trigger, lest ye kill my lambs. Drive off these dogs of France with your steel. Apostrophe, Cooper's word sense was singularly dull. When a person has a poor ear for music he will flat and sharp right along without knowing it. He keeps near the tune, but it is not the tune. When a person has a poor ear for words, the result is a literary flatting and sharping. You perceive what he is intending to say, but you also perceive that he doesn't say it. This is Cooper. He was not a word musician. His ear was satisfied with the approximate word. I will furnish some circumstantial evidence in support of this charge. My instances are gathered from half a dozen pages of the tale called Deerslayer. He uses verbal, foral, precision, for facility, semicolon, phenomena, for marvels, necessary, for predetermined, semicolon, unsophisticated, for primitive, preparation, for expectancy, semicolon, rebuked, for abjured, dependent on, for exulting from, fact, for audition, semicolon, fact, for conjecture, precaution, for caution, semicolon, explain, for determine, mortified, for disappointed, semicolon, meretricious, for factitious, materially, for considerably, semicolon, decreasing, for deepening, increasing, for disappearing, semicolon, embedded, for enclosed, treacherous, for hostile, semicolon, stood, for duped, softened, for epilest, rejoined, for remarked, situation, for condition, different, for differing, semicolon, insensible, for unsentient, brevity, for hilarity, semicolon, distrusted, for suspicious, mental imbecility, for imbecility, eyes, for it, counteracting, for posing, funeral obsequies, for psyches. There have been daring people in the world who claim that Cooper could write English, but they are all dead now, all dead but Lounsbury. I don't remember that Lounsbury makes the claim in so many words, still he makes it, for he says that Deerslayer is a pure work of art. Pure, in that connection, means faultless, faultless in all details, and language is a detail. If Mr. Lounsbury had only compared Cooper's English with the English which he writes himself, but it is plain that he didn't, and so it is likely that he imagines until this day that Cooper's is as clean and compact as his own. Now I feel sure, deep down in my heart, that Cooper wrote about the poorest English that exists in our language, and that the English of Deerslayer is the very worst that even Cooper ever wrote. I may be mistaken, but it does seem to me that Deerslayer is not a work of art in any sense. It does seem to me that it is destitute of every detail that goes to the making of a work of art. In truth, it seems to me that Deerslayer is just simply a literary delirium tremens. A work of art? It has no invention. It has no order, system, sequence, or result. It has no lifelikeness, no thrill, no stir, no seeming of reality. Its characters are confusedly drawn, and by their acts and words they prove that they are not the sort of people the author claims that they are. Its humor is pathetic. Its pathos is funny. Its conversations are, indescribable. Its love scenes odious. Its English a crime against the language. Counting these out, what is left is art. I think we must all admit that. End of this project. Gutenberg, a text of Fenimore Cooper's Literary Offenses by Mark Twain. Go by Gutenberg Edition.